This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, and welcome to Paranormal Thoughts Podcast. And as always, thanks for joining me. In this episode, I'm speaking with Rob and Trish McGregor. Rob and Trish are both authors based over in Florida in America. They write about topics such as synchronicities, alien abductions, spirits, and that's just a few things they write about. They have a very wide variety of content. Rob and Trish actually influenced me quite early on. If you have listened to my very first couple podcasts, I sort of mentioned a few researchers I was really into at that time who really inspired me to put my thoughts out there and to kind of speak to all of you about the paranormal. Trish actually was the one to reach out to me and she had heard the podcast, which kind of blew me away, to be honest. So we started having a bit of a conversation over email, and I invited both her and Rob on the podcast to talk to us all about everything that they get up to. So before we get into that chat, though, just a few things. If you enjoy this episode or any of our previous episodes, please feel free to subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you use. If you enjoyed the episode as well and you find you might know some people who would also get something out of it, please feel free to share it onto them as well. It actually really helps pretty much all the growth that we get from this podcast is people just sharing the content around. So it's a massive help if you do know someone who you think might be interested. We have a blog as well, which is paranormalthoughtspodcast.wordpress.com. You can jump on there. There'll be all of Rob and Trish's links, as well as also in the description of the podcast. But anything that we sort of speak about in the podcast that I'll make reference to will be over on the blog. We also are on Facebook and Instagram, so jump on over there. We also have shirts for sale as well at teespring.com. And once again, all of these links are in the description of this podcast. Just want to say a massive thanks to Rob and Trish once again for coming on. It was actually really awesome to speak to these two. So let's just get straight into this chat. Welcome to the podcast, Rob and Trish McGregor. How are you both doing today?
Pretty good.
All right, guys. So I guess we're going to start from the very beginning of how all of this came about. Where did all this research and I suppose the both of you even meeting, where did all this sort of begin?
That's a loaded question.
Yeah, well, for Trish, I guess it goes way back to 1981 when I was working as a newspaper reporter and I got an assignment to find out what's going on with the Cuban refugees. There were 100,000 Cuban refugees who had come a couple years earlier from Cuba. And the question was, were they integrating into American society or were they staying in Little Havana, you know, in the Cuban communities? And so what I found is Trish was teaching English as a second language at Florida International University, which is based in Miami, but she was actually in Hollywood, Florida, which is about 40 miles or so north of Miami. And I met her and we talked and I interviewed her. And then afterwards...
But I was teaching Marielitos.
Yeah.
I was teaching the Cuban refugees, so that
right.
was his story.
That was my story. But we found out that we had a common interest afterwards, after the interview, just talking, that we had both been... reading books by this channeler named Jane Roberts, the Seth books. And we both were fascinated by these books and reading one after another as they were coming out. But we knew no one who was either reading those books or even had any interest in the subject matter. So suddenly we found, you know, that we both had this odd similar interest. So that kind of hit things off. And so we also both wanted to get out of our jobs. She wanted to stop teaching. She had written six unpublished novels, and I was writing magazine articles, and I wanted to go freelance full time and get away from the newspaper job. And so we started saving our money, got to know each other better, of course, and moved in together. And we both quit our jobs and started freelance writing. And
by then we were married.
Yeah. we got married and went to Chile and Ecuador on our honeymoon and came back and went to work. And we
ran out of money 5 months later.
Right, yeah. And so we both took part-time jobs. But we were continuing writing. And the first book we tried to write, interestingly enough, was about synchronicity, which, you know, decades later, we started writing again and publishing those books. But the first time we did it, we just didn't have experience enough grip on the subject that it didn't go anywhere. But we didn't give up. We just kept writing, both fiction and nonfiction.
And we also both had an interest in UFOs.
Right, yeah.
And the paranormal.
And I edited Trisha's sixth novel, and that was the one that sold and became her first novel. So that worked out as a good beginning with our partnership, too.
Yeah, wow. I love that story of, you know, you both having that common interest, and that's kind of what got the snowball effect rolling, you know. But yeah. How long into the relationship did you both discover that you also had the interest in the paranormal?
Immediately.
Yeah, immediately?
Very, very quickly.
Actually, when I met Rob, I went home to my roommate and I said, I think I just met the guy I'm going to marry. And she said, really? How do you know that? I said, I don't know. It's just a feeling, you know.
I didn't know that.
Oh, that's great, though.
One thing we did was when we first met was we went to this store and I said, it was a game store. And I said, let's buy a Ouija board and try it out. So we did. And so right away, it starts working for us. And supposedly we're getting this information coming from an alien in a ship out in somewhere in space above Earth. So being I was still working as a newspaper reporter and, you know, and being somewhat skeptical, I said, okay, we want some proof that of who you are contacting us through a Ouija board from a spaceship. And so we were told to go to the airport.
On a particular night.
That night and late at night. So
we did.
Yeah, we went at like 1 o'clock in the morning and I had to be to work at 8 o'clock at the newspaper, 8 o'clock the next morning. And so we parked. This was when Fort Lauderdale Airport was smaller, so we could just pull up to the fence beyond the runway and watch the airplanes coming in. And so, but there, at this time there wasn't much activity, so we were looking in the sky, watching. We must have hung out for almost an hour and nothing happened. It was kind of embarrassing, so we just went our ways. And then, so the next morning, I'm at work and I get a deadline story that I have to have by 10:30, and I'm calling it in. I'm really tired. I call it in, and then I go into the office, and I have to do a follow-up on it and expand upon it for the second edition of the paper. The reporter in the next desk is typing away madly, and we both kind of finish at the same time, and I look over at her. I say, what are you working on? And she says, a story about a UFO that appeared last night above Perry Airport.
Which we were at the wrong airport.
It was like 10, 10 miles away, a smaller airport. And the synchronicity there, I mean, the reporter in the next desk was writing the story about it.
Yeah, wow. There you go. I love that. Like, just at the wrong airport, you know, but that's incredible.
Yeah.
Now, of course, a shrink would probably look at that and say, how many people would follow a clue from a Ouija board?
I also just want to say too, like that's great that you sort of both met each other at the same time that where you actually wanted to, you know, go freelance and quit your jobs and do what you're passionate about, you know, and that's a hard thing for people to do. And the fact that you were both sort of wanting to do the same thing is pretty remarkable. You know, I think it'd be pretty rare for a couple to sort of meet and be in that same position and to be able to sort of both support each other because you're both coming from the same point of view. So I take my hats off to that because that's never an easy thing to, you know.
especially for both of us quitting our jobs and going off on our own with not one of them, you know, staying on with a full-time job and, you know, pulling in the regular income, but both of us.
It's resulted in financial ups and downs. I mean, it's not
over the years.
Yeah. But we also have a daughter who doesn't work for anybody. She has three part-time jobs as an artist, mm-hmm. a dog walker, a dog sitter.
and she makes a living on her own, and she's also finishing her first novel. So, she grew up and never saw her parents go to work. You know, I mean, they never, like everybody else's parents, they got up and went to work in the morning. We got up and, you know, walked 10 feet to our desks, our offices, and, you know, went to work right at home. So she liked the idea of the parents get to stay home.
That's fair enough, you know, whatever kind of works for everyone.
Yeah, really.
So as you mentioned there, you know, you mentioned a few synchronicities already, and of course you were both known for your pretty extensive research into synchronicity. So just to get a bit of a understanding for all the listeners, what does synchronicity mean to the both of you?
Okay. So synchronicity is when two or more similar things that aren't connected come together in
Have cause and effect. Yeah, aren't caused by cause and effect.
Yeah, come together in a spooky way, outside of cause and effect. And that connection or coincidence is meaningful to the experiencer, the one who experiences it. So in other words, if I'm thinking, as an example, I'm thinking of a friend I haven't thought about for years. I wonder what happened to that person. And a few minutes later, I get a Facebook request from that person. Now, that's a synchronicity, but it could also be telepathy. It also could be precognition. So we look at synchronicity as like the umbrella of all the
paranormal
aspects, that because a lot of things that can be telepathy, precognition, or you know, other aspects of psychokinesis can also be synchronicities.
Well, synchronicity is also active in all divination systems. You know, I mean, Jung first wrote about it in his introduction to Richard Wilhelm's I Ching, and that's where he initially talked about synchronicity, at least in a public way.
Yeah. And synchronicities don't exist really unless you recognize that coincidences can have meaning. But recognizing that.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have these experiences, but you know, just let it go. Don't think nothing of it. Just something passing.
Random.
Yeah. And so we encounter people who have never heard the term synchronicity all the time. But then when you talk to them about it, they say, oh, I've had those.
Oh, that happens to me daily.
It is a bit like that, isn't it? Like once I sort of came across the topics of synchronicity and you sort of speak to people about it and they don't understand it until you kind of put it into, I don't know, I guess a term or an understanding where they can have a connection to it and they do have that exact reaction, don't they? I can totally relate to that.
Well, I mean, most people experience coincidences. So sometimes you just say, you know, it's a meaningful coincidence.
Yeah, that's the easiest definition is a meaningful coincidence.
See, we found this too with the word precognition. We sort of did a random survey one day at the dog park where the only commonality people have were dogs. And, you know, I said, do you know what precognition is? Do I know what is? And then if you put it in terms of, do you know what an omen is? Oh, yeah, I know what an omen is.
It's just a different,
it's just a different way of looking at it.
I started this podcast back in 2016. So it's about two and a half years ago now. And I guess we could talk about this maybe a little later in, but I guess the podcast kind of started around a bunch of synchronicities and things that kind of happened in my life that sort of time. But the fact of the way that we've even met online is through a synchronicity. Like, Trish, did you maybe want to go into kind of what happened there with you actually reaching out to me?
Yeah, our friend Daz, who lives in Brisbane, he's a blogging friend, left a comment one day on our blog. I think he sent me an email too, and he said, "Hey, there's this guy, Dylan, who has this Paranormal Thoughts podcast, who mentioned you and also Mike Cleland." I said, "Really?" So I went and he sent me the link. So I went and listened to the podcast, and then I wrote you. I said, "Well, thank you. That's you know, that would have been impossible without the internet and technology."
We met Mike Cleland through the internet too, and his real thing about synchronicity deals with owls and UFOs, yeah. And he's had so many of those experiences. He wrote a very thick book about it.
Yeah, I reached out to Mike, it probably was quite early on into the podcast, and we have sort of spoken about him coming on, but at that point he was like halfway through writing his second book, so he was pretty busy, and I was like, I'll leave you to, you know, do what you got to do. And I haven't actually rekindled that discussion yet, but it is on my list of eventually to talk to Mike, because he was like, Mike and the both of you were kind of quite important to the reason why I started this podcast, you know, so I'd I'll talk about that in a second, but so it is kind of, it was funny, like when I did get your email, I didn't really pay much attention to who the email was from. I kind of just read it. I was like, okay, that's interesting. And then I like looked back at the top at your name and I said, Trish McGregor. I was like, oh, it can't be like the Trish McGregor, you know, like the reason kind of why the podcast sort of started. And then I realized it was you. I was like, no way. So it kind of came, it really did come full circle for me, you know, which was just bizarre.
That's pretty cool.
You know, exactly. And I read your friend's blog, and it was funny, it sort of got halfway through and it was like, I'm surprised Dylan's never actually reached out to you both. And I suppose the podcast, I try not to do a ton of interviews, you know, and like I try to do it from a bit of a different approach, because I guess a lot of podcasts about the paranormal have a very similar, they have a pretty similar concept about, they do interviews with authors or pretty high profile experiences and things like that. But I kind of wanted to give it sort of back to the people a little more, and anyone who kind of has interesting stories could kind of come forward and sort of share it that way. So I still do.
Yeah, I love the title. Your title fits, you know, Paranormal Thoughts.
Yeah, it's a little more of like a discussion, I suppose, and which is, I don't know, a bit different, but I'm definitely not opposed to doing interviews, but it's not the first thing I sort of think about doing. But when I saw your email come through, I was like, no way, that's actually insane in a sense. So,
yeah, when you become aware of synchronicities, that's when you really start
paying attention
and finding more and more happening around you that you didn't realize. Like, I remember one person I talked to about her synchronicity book is actually a guy who had a little newsletter about UFOs. What was his name again?
James Mosley.
James Mosley. And he very seriously told me that he's had two synchronicities in his life, and he's going to explain one, which he did in great detail. It was very interesting to him, but it didn't make much sense to me. But the thing is that, you know, I probably had two synchronicities that morning, you know. So, you know, people have different perspectives on
synchronicity.
On synchronicity.
Yeah. What it means.
And he also, you know, he was very interested in UFOs, but the fact that we were at that point writing a lot of astrology books, he was making fun of that. He thought that was hilarious that we believed in astrology. So, you know, so it's
so I said, Jim,
different things for
give me your
folks.
Birthday, your time, and where you were born, and we'll talk about it.
There you go. The first episode I did for the podcast, I've just checked the date here. It was the 7th of October 2016. And
okay.
The way I recorded that, I like I wasn't even sure I was going to even make a podcast, to be honest. I just kind of started talking and I just kind of recorded a bunch of my thoughts. So that very first episode's a bit of a shambles because it wasn't, I didn't, when I was recording it, I wasn't even sure people were going to hear it. And I kind of just did it and I was like, I'm just going to put this online. And literally I was like, I got to call it something. So I just called it Paranormal Thoughts Podcast. Like it just kind of was something I just threw out, you know, and it just kind of stuck. And then, so that was the first episode. And then by the fourth episode, which was the 12th of November, 2016, this is where this night I had some very interesting events kind of unfold where I was driving home late one night. At this time, I was doing some work experience at a radio station in Brisbane. So the show I was helping out on, I think it started at 10 and then the show finished at about midnight. So I might have been driving home around 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. So no one's on the road, obviously, as you can kind of imagine. And in my car at the time, I didn't have like an aux cord or a USB input. So, but I'd love to drive and listen to podcasts. So I'd have to physically burn podcasts onto CDs. So I kind of just had this like large CD book on the floor of my passenger seat with just a bunch of discs with podcasts. And a lot of them, I didn't even have titles written on because I'd kind of be in a rush. I just have a bunch of blank CDs. And I was like, I just feel like listening to something because, you know, the drive home is about half an hour or so. So I just grabbed a disc, put it in the player and it started sort of driving home. And that turned out to be your interview with Mike Cleland when you were on his podcast.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And then
that's the one I listened to that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'd forgotten all about that.
Yeah. So maybe 10 minutes into the drive, I kind of realized that this was the podcast where I sort of first found out about synchronicity within, you know, the paranormal and more so alien abduction. And that's kind of what got me thinking about, you know, I guess all like this whole topic as a whole and what it sort of meant to me. So I'm sort of put that in and I went, oh, this is like this podcast that I heard some months ago now that kind of the light bulb effect sort of went off to start the podcast that I just started, you know, a month earlier. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting, you know, driving home, listening to that. And obviously, you know, you're talking about owls and synchronicities with UFO abductees and everything along those lines. So I start to ponder, to listen to a podcast with, I can't remember who it was now. I need to actually go back and find that, but it was with a woman. And one of the last things she said in that podcast about abduction was if she had had an experience, she doesn't remember it. So I'm kind of maybe 10 minutes or so from home and I'm thinking about those sort of words about, yeah, okay, I'm really interested in this topic, but I couldn't ever say that I've had any sort of experience. I've never seen anything or anything like that, but I just have this passion for it, you know? So I'm sort of thinking, well, what if it is that situation where I just don't remember anything? So I'm thinking about that about 10 minutes from home. I continue to drive and I'm literally about to turn into the street where my parents live. And I look out the window to the right and I see an owl sitting on a street sign.
Oh, wow.
So
that would be fine.
Yeah, exactly right. And sitting on a sign is so, it just is like a perfect story there. So I sort of pull over and there's no one around, obviously, because it's quite early in the morning. And I get out of the car and I walk over to this owl and I'm just kind of looking at it for a little while. I might have said something. I can't really remember. And we're kind of just looking at one another for a bit. And then the owl took off and flew to the other side of the road into a bunch of trees. And I thought, okay, that was kind of interesting, you know. And then I sort of get back in the car, just drive into my street. And then I sort of just went over in my head the events that just kind of took place. I was listening to Rob and Trish talking to Mike Cleland about synchronicity and owls. That was the reason I kind of started the podcast. I'm driving home thinking about if I've had an abduction, and then next minute I see an owl. And I was just And it's just that perfect line of events, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a really good synchronicity. That's powerful.
Yeah.
You know, the story I had told you about how we met and how we went out looking for that UFO at the airport. So the follow-up to that is the next night, you know, the paper came out that afternoon and it had the UFO story at Perry Airport right on the front page across the bottom. And so Trish and I told Trish about this. And so that night we went down to Perry Airport to look. And so Perry Airport has no lights on at night. It's just pure
a private
airport. And it is dark. And we're looking around. Again, nothing happened. So we're driving back and we're in separate cars, actually. I turn on the radio and what comes on is very strange. It's one of these old time dramas. Like before television existed, where people sat around and listened to these dramas on the radio, and it was an old time drama. And one of the characters was an alien from a spaceship. You know, it's so crazy.
It's like your owl on the sign. I mean,
yeah, it can't be like any more obvious to you, isn't it? It's just it's there, just trying to tell you something.
That owl on the sign, Dylan, is kind of like that's a slap over the head. Like, hey, pay attention, attention.
Exactly right, isn't it? And then over the next few days, there's a few other little interesting things like that sort of happened. But a big one that sort of stood out to me was, so that happened, that would have been early hours of, say, Friday morning, I think. And then by, I think, Sunday evening, I'd only told two people about what had happened. It was my mum and my girlfriend. And we decided to go for a walk on the Sunday night. And we were sort of heading back towards where I saw the owl. And I kind of just thought to myself, wouldn't it be great if they saw an owl also, you know, because it's sort of been weighing on my mind for the last couple of days. And we get to the spot where it took place was actually on the other side of the road. So we're on the side of the road where the owl would have flown into the trees. And I was sort of thinking about this. And then, no word of a lie, this owl just swoops down directly in front of us. So to the point where you couldn't miss it, where it, you know, I don't know why it would have actually made itself so obvious to us and landed back in the trees where it would have been originally from. And so both my mum and my girlfriend were standing there looking at this owl. And I was like, well, I don't know what this means, but you were the only two I'd told about this. And now we've just seen another owl, if it's not the same owl, but there you go. So I couldn't really make sense of that. But once again, it was just whatever that message was.
Did they recognize that as a synchronicity?
Yeah, definitely. So I'd sort of spoken to them about what sort of, you know, synchronicity was and sort of what, and they were like, wow, that's pretty spooky. They were a bit freaked out by it, but I was like, well, there you go. So it was, I don't know, it was just one of those, and it was just such an interesting time because with the podcast just kind of starting, I felt like, okay, I need to keep doing this, you know, and kind of keep searching for answers. And that's sort of what I've been doing. And I think it has sort of paid off in a sense, you know, it's been really rewarding. And like now look, like, you know, I would never thought 2.5 years later I would, you know, be talking to you guys from you actually reaching out to me because that, you know, so it was just, you know, it's so interesting, but it has kind of come full circle in a sense.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That is cool.
Yeah.
Well, what I was going to ask you a question about your mother and girlfriend. I forgot what I was going to ask you. Now, have they seen owls since, or have you?
I've seen a few sort of around that sort of area, but up until but that's what the interesting thing is. I can't say I've ever seen an owl there before. Where we were living, to be honest, because I suppose they don't really make themselves that well aware. But something that happened a few years earlier was one of my mum's brothers was killed in a car accident. He was killed on his motorbike, and for a week after he passed, an owl would come and visit my mum in the backyard, and she was the only one who could kind of get close to it, otherwise it'd just kind of fly off. And she, my mum's quite spiritual and very sort of aware of those sort of things. So she came to the conclusion that that was her brother in some sense, or, you know, some sort of messenger you could say.
Well, that's what they are, messengers between the living and the dead, so that's perfect.
But they're also related to alien encounters, too, because like Mike Clellan and Whitley Strieber both have seen owls that they could be looking at aliens that appear as owls. Mm. And we've had, you know, this interest in the aliens and UFOs for a long time. And when after we moved out of Fort Lauderdale and Trish was pregnant with our first daughter, we moved to...
Our only daughter.
Our only daughter, right. We moved to Boynton Beach, Florida. And where do we move to? But a place where there's burrowing owls. Burrowing owls are...
unique to Florida, I think. Well, maybe not unique to... Well, anyway, they live in the ground.
Right.
They burrow holes.
They're very rare and protected. And so we have burrowing owls living right in our yard and living in the ground.
There you go.
And they did put in appearances twice when we had heard about friends passing on.
Yeah. One of them came right on our doorway, above the door, and just stayed there for a couple of hours. And then we heard about... a friend of ours in New York City who had died.
The most stunning one was Megan comes running into the kitchen one morning. She says, "Wow, Mom, there's an owl on the gate outside Buddy's room." Buddy was my dad who was living with us at the time. So I thought, uh-oh, does that mean my dad's going to pass on? And Megan says, "Come outside and look. It only has one leg." So we ran outside, and it was in the middle of the afternoon, kind of an unusual time for these burrowing owls to come out. So we go outside, and sure enough, at first I thought the owl's leg was folded up, but it was missing its leg from, like, midpoint down, and it was the left leg. And I thought, okay, I know this means something, but what? Next morning, less than 12 hours later, I get a call from the Alzheimer's unit where my mother is, telling me that she's being rushed to a hospital because they think she had broken her left hip. Well, as it turned out, her hip had dissolved. The same leg as the owl that was missing part of its leg, and she died a couple of weeks later.
Wow, there you go. Not only was it, I suppose, a message about a passing, but that it was so specific about the missing leg with the owl. Like, that's fascinating.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I'd like to maybe talk to you both about maybe some experiences you've come across with aliens and synchronicity, UFO abduction, everything like that. As I sort of mentioned, my listeners are really interested in that sort of topic, so I'd love to hear maybe some cases you've come across that stick out for you both.
Well, we found that alien contact and synchronicity are linked. And others have found that, too, that there seems to be a link between the paranormal and alien encounters. And because it seems that aliens are connected to our unconscious. They can read our minds and communicate telepathically, and they might be able to create or stimulate synchronicity. So we've just run across a number of different cases. One of them that we write about in our book called Aliens in the Backyard involved a man who lived in Quebec outside of
Toronto.
No, not Toronto.
Montreal.
Outside Montreal in the countryside, about 45 minutes away. He works in the aeronautical field in Montreal, and he gets up very early in the morning, 5 o'clock or so. And so one morning he had this experience where he looks out, he lets his dog out the backyard, and the dog didn't want to go out for some reason out the back door. And so he kind of nudges him with his foot, and he looks out and he sees these beams of light in this field shooting down, and there's at least a dozen of them, and he can't see what's above it, but it's very strange. And inside these beams, it's this swirling energy, and it looks like it's pulling something from the earth and going up. So he wakes his wife up and says, "You got to see this." So they go out and looking at it, and these lights are moving towards them, and then suddenly, from one side, here comes a saucer-shaped craft that's coming in into their backyard vertically, not like a coin on its side,
on the edge,
come between this weeping willow tree and the house, coming right at them, and this beam of light comes out, and he reaches down for his dog to grab him and go inside, and this beam of gold light goes around the dog, and he grabs the dog, and that's the last thing he remembers. The next thing he knows, he's taking a shower, and he doesn't know how he got there, and his wife is sound asleep. And so this was his really the extent of his experience, but it just blew his mind. He had no interest or belief in UFOs or aliens, and suddenly he has this strange experience. Now, he didn't really have any missing time. He actually went to work that day, made it on time.
Compressed time.
Yeah, or compressed time or whatever. But he closes his office door and just breaks down in tears, and he like having a nervous breakdown. And after that, yeah, he started having synchronicities. And one of the things, he went to his neighbor and asked about, did you see anything this morning? And he says, no. And his wife yells, "Charles, did you see a UFO? Because my cousin, he's kind of crazy. He's a channeler. And he said a couple of weeks ago, he said, there's going to be a UFO appear in your backyard. And you saw it, didn't you?" And he's just shocked. And then he starts seeing these people who lived about a quarter mile from
him. He also went to a bookstore in Montreal looking for information or whatever. And on the bookstore, on the exhibit stand, was in French a book called Seven Secrets of Synchronicity. So he bought the book, took it home, went on the internet to see what it was about, came to our blog, and that same day we happened to have a picture of a UFO that was pretty much exactly what he had seen in his backyard.
With the beams shooting down. And that's when he knew he had to contact us and tell us his story. But he had been having a number of synchronicities already, and so he goes into this bookstore and goes to the New Age section, and that's the only book he picked up was the Seven Secrets of Synchronicity.
And it was in French.
Yeah. And so that was the connection that he had with us. But strange things were happening to him, like he was having trouble sleeping, so he stopped on the way home from his office at a pharmacy to get some over-the-counter sleeping pills of some sort. And he asked an assistant for what he could get. And she said, "Let me get the pharmacist." The pharmacist comes over and looks at him and says, "You had an experience, didn't you? You saw them." And he says, "What?" He said, "You saw a UFO, didn't you?" And this blew his mind. I mean, how could this pharmacist look at him and say that? And then the pharmacist writes down a name and a telephone number, says, call this person. I know this man. He knows a lot of information about this. And so he contacts that guy and they get together. And, you know, it's just one thing after another.
Now, here's another strange thing. He and his wife were so freaked out by this that they got holy water. And they used to carry it around with them. So at one point, we had met a woman in the spiritualist community of Casadega, which is just north of Orlando, who's a psychometrist. She reads objects. So I said to Rob, get the vial of holy water from Charles, and let's take it to Kathy and see if she'll read it, what she can pick up. Well, Kathy is... at that time, she was an emergency room nurse. So when I pull out this vial of holy water, she thinks it's urine. She thinks it's a urine sample. And she kind of looks at me and she goes, oh, okay, I'll read this. And that's what she did, you know, and she came up with some specific things about his experience. And my question at the end of this was, well, Kathy, why did this happen? What was their purpose? And she said, fun.
Yeah, he said
the aliens did it for fun.
They were doing something out in that field, and then they spotted him. And whatever they did with him, it was just, you know, she said they did it for fun. I mean, the idea that they're doing anything for fun is kind of unusual.
That's scary too.
Scary.
There you go. What can you even make of that? It was just for fun.
Yeah.
So you also have your new book that's recently been released, Secrets of Spirit Communication.
This is another thing. We found that synchronicity, with any kind of spirit contact, synchronicity seems to be one of the vital components, you know, just as it is with alien and UFO stuff, with any kind of strange experience, really.
So can you give me maybe an example of synchronicity coming into play with contacting spirits?
All right, here's one. You were talking about owls before. Okay.
Yep.
One day, I'm going through some old photos. I found some photos, old family photos, when my family lived in Venezuela. And so I was texting my sister that I had found these photos and did she want any? And all of a sudden, outside my window, two hummingbirds appear. And this feeling washed over me. And I knew that it was my parents, both of whom had... were deceased. Anyway, so that was an example. You know, there was no, it's like, again, birds as messengers, birds as whether it's for about, you know, UFOs and aliens or whether it's contact with the dead.
Yeah, a spirit contact and synchronicity is just some examples. A clock stops at the time of death of a loved one. We've heard those stories. Or a broken radio begins to play as you talk about the deceased one who owned that radio. You open a book and find a photo of a loved one that you're just thinking about, the person who had passed.
Here's another one with technology. We've heard about a couple of these. One woman who had lost her husband was texting her daughters about coming to the house to, you know, go through his things and see what they wanted to take with them. And all of a sudden, while she's writing them, there was... this line appears that no one typed, he loves you. And Nancy was so shocked, it took her a moment to process what the heck this was. And she said, I didn't type that, to her daughter. And the other two daughters say, we didn't either. And the daughter goes, oh, my God, he loves us. Yeah. So there's an instance where technology has maybe enabled these spirits to be more communicative. But again, it's a synchronicity.
Yeah. The usual presentation of spirit contact in the media and entertainment is that it's something scary, something frightening.
Or negative.
Something, you know, coming out of the earth, you know. But that's really not the most common. Those are the kind of the scary stories that interest people. But the reason spirits want to contact us is maybe to finish a task, like finding hidden money for the family that had been left behind, or
sometimes just to say I'm okay.
Yeah, to show that there is life beyond death, that the spirit world exists, or just, you know, like Trish said, to communicate that they're okay. So there's lots of stories, and there's a lot of times it appears through symbolism, not just, you know, when we say we contact, how do they contact us? It's not like they appear as ghosts and start talking to us. Sometimes it's like a series of white feathers that flutter down in front of you is one symbol. Butterflies in certain situations, mm-hmm. Landing on a gravestone.
Or hummingbirds, or, you know, there are a lot of signs and symbols in nature.
A road sign bearing the name of the person you're talking about. So different things like that. There's one man who is an arch skeptic, who is the editor of
Michael Shermer,
editor of Skeptic Magazine. And he had an experience himself, and he wrote about it in a column in
Scientific American.
And he was marrying a German woman. She had moved her belongings from Germany. And one of the things that they had was this old radio that her grandfather owned. And she had grown up with her grandfather and been very close to him. And after the ceremony, they walked back to their room and they hear this radio, this love song playing. Where is that coming from? They open this drawer, and there it's that old radio that had never worked. He had messed around with that, trying to get it to play. It had never played. And it played for about an hour or so, stopped, and was never able to play again. But it was right at the time of the wedding. And the German woman just breaks down and says, "Grandfather is here." She had felt very sad that she was getting married, and this man who's been very close to her wasn't, or any other family was there with her. So, he wrote about that, and so
a couple years later, he became a skeptic again.
probably sooner than that, but a couple years later, he is writing that it's all nonsense.
There you go. How interesting. One of the questions I had written down here, which is, it's funny, I was going to ask about your paranormal experiences that you've had, but you answered that pretty early on with the Ouija board, telling you to go to the airport. So I just thought that was funny that you answered that organically.
Yeah.
You know, we just had an experience 2 weeks ago. Our 10-year-old golden retriever died, and he was such a noble dog, and we were really broken up by this. And my daughter a few months earlier had lost her cat and had gone to this animal communicator. So I said, well, I'd like to make an appointment with Heather. And one of the first, I had the reading finally yesterday. One of the first things she said to me, she said, "Who's Buddy?" Well, Buddy was Megan's nickname for my dad. He never wanted to be called Granddad or Grandfather. So at that point, I thought, okay, how did this woman get this name? She's got to be the real deal. And then she started telling me about what Noah's doing on the other side. You know, it was just, when you get some kind of validation like that, then you know it's real.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like your owl on the sign, you know, a different type of sign, but it's validation. Mm.
And oftentimes these experiences related to people or animals passing over come through dreams. For example, about a couple weeks before our golden retriever died, I had this dream of seeing the dog with Trish's father, Buddy, and the dog it looked thin, and he was kind of following us from a distance. And it was after that he got sick, and he lost like 13 pounds in a week or 10 days. And so he had gotten thin. And so that was like a precognitive dream. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, after he died, our daughter Megan and I both had a dream of the same night of contact with the dog, basically that it was, I saw the dog playing, and I was there.
Noah, his name was Noah.
Right. And I said, I said to somebody who was there, that dog is dead. And Megan had the dream, and she was seeing the dog Noah play, and then she said, go find Rob. And so he runs off and right into my dream.
You know, you asked about, there was one synchronicity having to do with aliens and UFOs that was pretty stunning. Rob and his co-author for a book called The Fog were invited to appear on UFO Hunters. So we all flew out to Andros Island in the Bahamas, where there's a secret military base.
Navy base
called Autech.
Ah, yes.
Yes, the Autech story. This is such a strange story.
It's like Area 51.
The underwater Area 51
because of sightings of UFOs and underwater objects. And so the UFO hunters, these three guys that were the main...
Bill Burns.
Yeah, characters and players in the History Channel documentary went out there to gather these stories and talking with people who had worked with Autech civilians because they were more willing to talk about these things. But then they wanted to go onto the base. And so the producers had contacted the base a number of times. And not only did they not get approval to go on the base, but they never even got any response at all. So after I was interviewed by Bill Burns, he said, why don't we go and see if we can get in the base? So we got in a Jeep with the cameraman and sound person and drove over to the entrance. And we stopped about 50 yards away from the entrance and to get organized and to walk up there. Well, immediately what happens is two police cars arrive, and instead of like pulling towards the gate, they came head to head across the gate, like they were
physically blocking
the gate. And then this black helicopter lifts from behind the gate and comes over hovering, making a lot of noise. And Bill looks up and says, you know, I don't think they're interested in having us come into the base. And so we backed away.
Okay. Now, 4 months later, we're taking our daughter back to college on the west coast of Florida in Sarasota, and we're getting her moved into the dorm. And so that evening, we decided to go down to a local bar that had live music. And it was a Friday night, so it was really crowded. The only opening in the entire place was a high top where another couple was sitting. So we asked this other couple if we could join them. Here's where synchronicity sometimes really kicks you in the face. The guy was the ex-commander of Autech who had just retired.
And he was there. He was the commander at Autech when we tried to go in there. And so we're talking to him. We're disrupted. We're drinking and we're disrupted by the music. And he's fascinated by the story, and he seems like he's got something to tell me. And he writes down his name and his email address, and then he says, "Let's go over to another bar and talk." And for some reason, Trish,
we should have, but we didn't.
We decided to leave. We decided to go back to our hotel room instead of going with him. And so what happens? I lose that piece of paper. I never. That's like a trickster synchronicity, you know, because after all of this, we meet the commander who is there 4 months later, and he wants to talk to us, and I lose the contact.
And we don't go. This is what I don't understand. Why didn't we go with them?
Yeah. Maybe it's just one of those things where it just wasn't meant to be, hey? Like.
Maybe so. Maybe we would have gotten abducted or something.
Yeah.
That was one of the most powerful synchronicities. Yeah, I mean, when he said who he was, we just kind of sat there with our mouths open.
And so we started telling him about the UFO hunters and going there. And he was very interested in that.
That's great. I was just, when I was looking through everything you guys have written and published, the Bermuda Triangle is another topic that you've touched on. I'm just wondering what your sort of thoughts are about what kind of actually goes on there, why it is so well known. Evan, is there actually any synchronicities that you've found within that?
Whole bunches.
Yeah. I wrote a book, The Fog was the first one, and then I wrote another one, Beyond the Bermuda Triangle. And both of them were co-authored with Bruce Kiernan, who is a pilot who had a very strange time travel experience in the Bermuda Triangle.
When he flew from Andros.
Yeah.
He
was flying from Andros Island.
Where Autech is.
Yeah, where Autech
That's right.
is. And actually in that interview I had, where we had this attempt to meet the commander and get into the base, he was also there, and he had flown us there that weekend, and so his experience was leaving from Andros and seeing this cloud, looked like a lenticular cloud, which are usually they look like kind of UFOs, like disc shape, and they're usually above high mountains, at least 10,000 feet or so. But this was over the ocean and only about 1,000 feet. And so he flies around it. It seems kind of harmless. He goes around it, continues on, and he looks back, and he sees this cloud suddenly growing and expanding and shooting arms off on either side and kind of forming a U around where he's flying. And then there's another one in the distance, and that's shooting two arms off either in a U from the other side. So suddenly he's inside this donut of clouds, and he tries to fly underneath it. He goes way down 100 feet, and he sees that the cloud is coming right out of the ocean now. He goes up to over 10,000 feet, and he thinks that must be up to 60,000 feet. So he's trapped in there, but then he sees this hole where the two of the arms are coming together, and there's this circle, like a tunnel, and he thinks that maybe he can make it through there. So he flies right into it, and things get really weird. Inside the cloud, the clouds are spinning in counterclockwise, and they're closing down around the airplane. Everything's dark, but he could see blue sky on the other side, and he bursts through, and now the blue sky is gone, and he's just in this yellow soup, and none of the instruments are working on the airplane. They lose radio contact. Finally, they got radio contact with the Miami Tower, and they ask, can you locate us? We should be near Bimini, approaching Bimini. And they say, no, there's no planes out there at all. And so he's with his father and father's business partner. And, you know, they started getting very nervous.
And his father was also a pilot.
Yeah, right. So. And they were very careful about all three of them keeping track of the times and their watches and everything. So they, and how much gas they had. And then the radio comes back on after a minute and say, okay, there's a plane coming right in over Miami Beach now. Bruce says, no, that couldn't be us. We're 100 miles away. And he looks down, the fog is breaking away, and there's Miami Beach. And so it's like they had moved 100 miles in space in an instant somehow.
Yeah.
After going through this tunnel. And that so confused him. He kept track of everything that happened and kept thinking about it and writing about it and for years and years, and thinking about it every day, because it was a baffling experience.
It completely has taken over his life.
Right. And when it happened, this was 1971. He was young.
73.
73. He was about 22 years old. He had never heard of the Bermuda Triangle at that point. Charles Berlitz's book, The Bermuda Triangle, didn't come out till like 3 years later, and he happened to catch a talk show on television where one of the persons who first wrote about the Bermuda Triangle was interviewed, and he listened to it and said, I know about that. I was in it. Then he knew he had to contact this man who had the show. I can't think of his name now, but anyhow, they eventually got together, and he told him his story, and that story was told in Charles Berlitz's follow-up book on the Bermuda Triangle, and Bruce has been interviewed probably 30 or 40 different times on different documentaries about the Bermuda Triangle
over the years.
And he's usually the one that they have at the end for, because his story is the most, he's the survivor, the one who survived.
And he's a pilot.
And a pilot,
you know, so it
right.
makes him a...
Yeah. So I met him at the gym where we both worked out, and it turned out that he had read an article about me that appeared in the local paper, the Palm Beach Post, and he wanted to know if I wanted to work with him on his book. And at first, you know, I was busy with other things, and I put him off for a while, and then we finally got together, and it turns out he only lived a mile away from us.
There you go.
And yeah, and so that's how it came about, writing the Fog. And then later on, just last year, we had a follow-up book, Beyond the Bermuda Triangle.
There was something else that happened, too. When Bruce flew us to Andros that weekend, on the way back, Rob and I were sitting in the back of the plane. And all of a sudden, I was looking at Bruce's navigational stuff, because I, at one point in my life, I took flying lessons. And all of a sudden, I noticed that the terrain vanished. And Bruce didn't say anything.
Yeah,
and I nudged Rob, and I said, you know, I pointed at the navigation. I said, everything's gone.
Yeah, he had a GPS, a huge GPS screen, and you could see all the islands all the way leading to Florida, South Florida.
And fortunately, Bruce had traveled that route enough so that he knew how to fly it without the navigational equipment. But it wasn't until we landed in West Palm that I said, Bruce, what happened to the nav stuff? He said, I don't know.
Wow.
It's bad, you know.
And what happened, though, is we flew right over the base.
Right over Autech.
Right over Autech, and that's where it happened. And then I later was in communication with one of the former Autech workers, and he said, oh, you got hit by an E-bomb from the base. Uh-huh. For flying. You're not supposed to fly over there. They knocked out your navigation somehow. But as soon as he went right over, he was back over the mainland, everything came back on, and he had the whole thing checked out the next day, and they couldn't find anything wrong with it at all. So that was a strange experience.
That was a little scary.
Whether it was, you know, whether they would actually do something at the base to somebody like that, or whether it came from some other source, that was a strange experience.
You should ask the commander.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting, though, isn't it? Like, you're flying purposely for a documentary on the Bermuda Triangle, and while you're flying, you've actually seen with your own eyes sort of an anomaly that is reported, you know. So there you go. Wow.
Yeah, that's strange.
One thing from your book, The Secrets, secret number four of synchronicity, you've got here that it's creativity lies in the heart of synchronicity. And that really stood out to me. And I think hearing your story at the beginning of the episode about meeting one another and kind of having similar interests and being able to actually quit what you were doing and move into what you do now, I think that's a real sort of testament to that. And I can relate to that as well with, you know, having my sort of experiences and putting into this podcast, and just, you know, I just feel like that is a massive part of it. And I never really thought about it like that, that it can actually influence us to be creative and to sort of do what we're meant to be doing, you know. So just when I saw that chapter there, I just thought, wow, that's something that really stood out to me.
Oh, well, that's great. I mean, my thing is everybody should do what they love, you know. But the problem is that people get discouraged, you know, understandably, and give up.
And they have to make a living.
Too. Yeah.
So, but the creative, that's just an aspect that, where synchronicities, when you're involved in a creative experience like writing something that we're doing research, and the research just comes out of nowhere to us, you know, just what we needed at the right time appears to us. And I was able to do that some when I was working as a journalist too. People would ask me, well, how were you able to get that that contact, that interview at that time? And, you know, you know, you say, you can't say synchronicity to these editors, you know. they're suspicious, you know, how you did that. And, you know, I knew something was going on then.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Just before we finish, maybe if you guys just want to tell people where they can find all of your content and everything like that.
Probably the simplest, the place where we do the most updating is blog.synchrosecrets.com. Then we each have, from there you can find our websites and everything too.
Yeah, my website is robmcgregor.buzz. It's M-A-C.
And mine is trishjmcgregor.com.
And our books are all on Amazon and barnesandnoble.com. And just putting our names, Trish McGregor, or T.J. McGregor, Rob McGregor, you can give the whole list of them. And
well, thank you both so much for taking the time to come on here and speak with me for a little while. As I said, it was really interesting how we kind of connected up. And I think that's...
Certainly is.
Yeah, you know, I think that just says something, doesn't it?
Yes, it sure does. So if you ever doubt, think back to that. Yeah, well, thank you for having us on, Dylan.
Yeah, thanks, Dylan.
Well, there you have it. Please, once again, guys, all of Rob and Trish's links will be in the description of this podcast. I really hope you enjoyed this. It's been a little while since I've done an interview, and to do an interview and to sort of be the first interview of 2019 with such people as Rob and Trish McGregor has actually been really incredible. And since speaking with Rob and Trish, it's given me it's really motivated me to find some other ways to bring you guys some interesting content that I haven't really thought much about. So hopefully this would be a great time to subscribe and follow Paranormal Thoughts Podcast so you can keep in the loop for all the new exciting episodes that we have coming out. So thank you once again, guys, and thank you to Rob and Trish for their time and coming on here to share a little bit about what they do. That's it for this episode, guys. I look forward to seeing you in another podcast real soon. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.